everybody. This is Armand Demel with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. And this is it, my friends. We're in the middle of it. It's holiday season all around you. The weather tells us as well. Ooh, cold out there. I miss sweating. Hey, listen, so holiday season, you know, Christmas, bells, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, and now it comes, now the shopping, the obligation. It is little wonder that there are so many Scrooges out there. Little wonder. A Scrooge is a guy or a woman, but they're mostly men Scrooges. You know the secret of Scrooginess? The secret of Scrooginess is that it's a guy who never had a loving father. Yep, if you never had a father who took care of you, cared for you, who valued you, you're going to wind up being a Scrooge at Christmas. The people who the most debunk Christmas, they could say holiday season, gift-giving, all of that. They could find a lot of logical reasons for there to be, you know, excess and you're doing things and you're being unkind to people and you're neglecting people. But the people who put down the holidays the most are the people who had no father. It's just too amazing. Too amazing, too much of a coincidence when I see the people. You know, in the original Christmas story, Scrooge, his father hated him because his mother died giving birth to him. There it is, right at the beginning. Holiday humbugs. Hey, are you a holiday humbug? Do you want to be a holiday humbug? Would you like to be high-spirited around this time of year? And how about always? Good spirits are good. Or is it necessary that we have some grumblers around? Is it necessary that we have some people to keep the balance on things, that we have some people who are just going to grumble? And you see them, they come up around this time of year, they walk around and they grumble, grumble, grumble. Something negative to say about everything? Something negative to say about anything? There should be a grumble day. You know, a day when everybody is allowed just to grumble, just for a day, for people to air out all their negatives and complaints. And everybody listens and simply says, they just simply say it's okay to grumble. It's all right to have one complaining day. It should be a thing. I've used to do workshops. When I did these big workshops, one time I had a very, very large audience. And I had everybody do something. I said, if you would start the workshop, what I'd like you to do is complain to your partner, the person sitting next to you. I'd like you to say something negative. Complain about everything you see. Complain about everything you hear. Complain about me. Complain about the weather. And they started doing it jokingly, you know, and they would say, oh, you know, it's terrible. And then another one would do it. Oh, it's terrible. And then they started doing it. The entire room grew into this incredible loud sound of people complaining. And I said, go ahead. I encourage them. Complain even more. Complain even more. And people loved having the right to complain. And they didn't care if they had consensus or agreement. They just loved to complain. So maybe it's an essential part of our nature. It was beautiful. After that, everybody hugged everybody. Everybody loved everybody. They had to get it out of the way. You know somebody who's a grumbler? Sometimes if you got somebody who's coming over to you just to complain and just to grumble, here's a secret, my friends. Let them grumble. They may need to do it. But don't respond to the content. So if they say, you know, this weather is all the result of all the deforestation of it's happening because of the abuse of the planet now, and grumble, grumble, grumble. And then everything cost too much and I couldn't get here because traffic was too bad and they just go through it. Look at them because they may need to do this. And don't respond to the content. Don't say, no, it's not true. And don't say, yes, it is true. Smile and say, ah, tough, isn't it? It's all you have to say, ah, tough, isn't it? You know, and then sometimes it just kind of goes out like an exhale. This is Armand Demel with you. It's a positive mind helping you lift your spirits, hopefully. Let's talk about gift giving. Since this comes up to question right now, this is a time of year when giving and receiving gifts becomes a focus of your time and attention. People attach a lot of meaning to what they get and what they give. It doesn't only happen at Christmas. It happens at other times of year, like birthdays, Valentine's Day, you know, special gifts you have to give on Labor Day. No, just kidding. There are many birthday gifts that come and go, and then there's this time, the idea of holiday giving. So I thought it might be worthwhile to spend a little time on it. Since there are so many people out there who might get caught in that last-minute desperation, it gets tough when you get caught up in the trap of having to buy a gift for someone, having to prove your love, having to reciprocate love, or expecting someone who loves you or is supposed to love you to give you something that makes you feel loved. That's a tough agenda. But maybe we could shed some light on the issue today. Maybe examine the expectations and the issues that you have related to this stuff. Maybe there's stuff that you're carrying around, some baggage along with your Santa Claus pack. You know, maybe there's a gift in there and a gift in there, and then you've got some baggage related to your early years. Gift getting. Sometimes it's a gift for someone you love, or sometimes it's a kind of mandatory gift for someone you know, or someone who you're expected to show some appreciation towards, like an in-law or a boss or a garbage collector or your mailman. You know, you're supposed to give gifts, and if you don't give gifts, penalties. Or sometimes it's a kind of mandatory gift. I have a building where every year I give gifts to the men who work in the building. I give them cash gifts, you know, because here I am, you know, in this big, beautiful building with a whole group of people working with me. And I show my appreciation, and then I buy these little cards to put the money in, but I always write something to each person. Because each person is different. Each person is a little different in character, and I say something to the character, the person. And believe it or not, every year they stop me on the words. They thank me for the words. Sometimes it's kind of a mandatory gift. Sometimes you're even caught buying a gift for someone you hate. Did you ever have to do that? Like a relative who you can't stand, who you know is going to buy you a gift or buy your kids a gift, and you have to buy them a gift. It's all okay. I'm not going to sit here and tell you you don't have to do it. It takes a lot of courage to not give a gift at a time when one is expected. And it's not just courage. Sometimes it's stupid. Because sometimes to not do it, to refuse at that moment to take a stand against someone, which is going to happen in a holiday meeting, you know, you all get together and let's say it's Christmas and you're all meeting down together and you got the entire family and now everybody's giving out gifts and you say, no, I'm not giving you a gift because I don't like you. This is not the time to do it. See, it's not the time. If you choose this time of year to confront an issue with someone, the odds are against your ever getting anywhere because you can be perceived as a Scrooge. You'll just ruin the whole place for everybody. But that doesn't stop us from looking at it. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We're going to be taking your calls about the holidays today. Our job here, my job and yours, is to take our minds a little beyond the normal, everyday numbness that most people live with. Most people go out there and just follow the pattern, and they don't think too much. And they may feel a little sad or a little anxious, but they don't think about it. Our job is to stretch and exercise your hearts and your minds so that you're not running on automatic like most people do. You want to join the Bloomingdale Christmas Eve desperation and be part of the pack, or would you rather look at why you do what you do, why you feel what you feel, and what is it that you're feeling, to be able to see it and acknowledge it? Boy, does that add something to the spirit. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind, inviting you to a higher level of consciousness around any issue. And we sure do it on this program. You folks have turned into a serious team of peaceful warriors. brave, brave folks who would rather know than not know, because you wouldn't be listening to this program if you'd rather not know. I mean, even at this time, there are so many simplistic answers out there about how the holiday season should be greeted, and yet it's the season of the greatest number of suicides. It's the season of the greatest depression. Let's challenge the not knowing. Let's ask the question nobody wants to ask. Like, why are you really giving the gift? You want to, but you don't have the money. But you don't like the pressure. And you don't have the time. You want to because you love the person and you welcome the opportunity to manifest that love through gifts. All right, it makes sense. Why would you buy gifts for Christmas or Hanukkah time? Maybe it's because you love joining the community of gift givers at the holiday time. You know, it's kind of a nice thing out there. People buying gifts, it means everybody is thinking of somebody else. The communal sense of people thinking about other people and what they could do for other people, that's a nice thing. You might really enjoy the Christmas show window dressing. You know, it's really pretty out there. If you look at all the work they put into it, or the big star here on 57th Street, it's pretty stuff. I kind of groan a little bit every time I see a big Christmas tree because, you know, I have this idea that Christmas trees would be happier out there, you know, staying where they were. But, you know, it's also beautiful, and there's an interesting question. How important is the acknowledgement or appreciation of the gift? You may get more from giving the gift, but there's a catch here. They have to acknowledge the gift. If you buy a gift to somebody and they don't acknowledge it, how does that feel? Think about your parents. Did your parents like the gifts you bought them? When you were a kid, did your parents receive your gifts well? This is a very important question because it affects how you behave today. Imagine a parent who gets a steak knife, you know, for Christmas, or a doily for Christmas, and celebrates it. That's one. And how about the one that says, that's very nice? And puts it right down without looking at it twice when you agonized over what the gift was going to be. Would you fawn over a gift certificate given to you from McDonald's? So today we're going to dig, you know, when someone gives you a gift, do you really try hard to enjoy the gift, to appreciate it? Do you feel put on the spot when you get a gift? Do you make believe you like something that someone really gives you, even if it reflects the fact that they have no idea of who you really are? Do you make believe you like the gift? We're going to dig a little today. I do. I don't make believe I like the gift. When I get a gift from someone, I think of the fact that this person selected this gift for me, and they look at me, and they want to give this to me, and they want to give it to me. There's very few mandatory gifts that ever come my way. No one I know ever gives me a gift out of obligation. I can't think of anyone, or I'd like not to think of anyone. And then, you know, I remember Charlotte. Let me tell you about Charlotte. Charlotte, who was one of my dear old friends, she used to buy me, who made those figurines? Wedgwood figurines. Now, there's very little in life that I would treasure less than a Wedgwood figurine. But every holiday time, Charlotte would get me a Wedgwood figurine because she bought Wedgwood figurines for everybody. She loved them. And it quickly wound up in some gift basket to somebody else, to some organization, a charity organization. She would get it for me. For the first few years, I felt insulted. I said, how does Charlotte get me this darn thing that I don't like? And then once I thought about it, and I said, what is it she's seeing in me that makes her choose this one? And the whole gift changed. They became little angels. I still gave them away. So we're going to dig a little today, and we're going to get into your issues around this. I'm going to ask you two questions. First, what problem are you having at this time of year? And I know the problem. I know we could easily go to, you know, it's a time of wastefulness. It's a time when people are starving. It's a time of, we could go there. I understand that. Just like at Thanksgiving, we could talk about, you know, the Native Americans, and in New Year's we could talk about noise, and, you know, on July 4th we could talk about destruction. I know we could do that on every holiday. You know, we could talk about artificial Valentine's Day, but, you know, it also touches your heart. So today, rather than stand on a soapbox, which I imagine you can easily, today I'm going to ask you two questions. What is difficult for you personally at this time of year? Where's your rough spot? And I'd like you to present the issue as a question about yourself. A question you may have may help you learn something about yourself. Such, for example, why do I hate the sound of Christmas music so much? There's a good question you might ask. Or how do I settle the bad feelings I have about not having enough money to buy my children gifts at Christmas time? There's a question you may ask. Or stuff like that. How do I deal with the loneliness when I miss my family so much at Christmas time? There's a question you might ask. So there are two things I'm going to ask. That's one, what is the difficulty, the question you have about yourself. And after that, I'm going to ask you about your holidays when you were a kid. Yep. And then we're going to put the two of them together, your current question and your feelings from childhood. And then with any luck at all, we'll be able to bring unconscious motivations, feelings, and frustrations, things from childhood that lurk in your unconscious mind and affect everything you do. And if we succeed, we may be able to give you a modicum of improvement, a taste of freedom from the need to keep your own feelings pushed down and become just a bah humbug kind of person. So let's break the mold. Let's explore. Two questions. What do you want to know about yourself related to the season and the holidays? And what was your childhood experience of the holidays? You could call in now at 209. Here we go. Which number are we using? 209-2900. 212-209-2900. 212-209-2900. Yeah, make some of your calls. We're going to be taking your calls right now. Before I make your call, as we're lining up in the queue, I want to give you a gift we have created for you mothers and children. Are there any mothers out there who have children who say, "Mommy, scratch my back"? How many mothers know about kids asking their parents to scratch their back? By the end of today, I'm going to give you secrets about back scratching, which will last with you forever. I promise you will never forget. Right now, let's take one of your calls related to the seasons, 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, I'm with you. Hello there.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Okay. I was just thinking while I was holding on.
Do you have your radio still turned on? Could you turn it off completely?
Now I'm away from it now, yes.
No, you have to turn it off. You have to go back to it and turn it off because
okay.
It has a feedback.
Here I go.
Are you ready?
All right, does that help?
Yeah, now it's off. Thank you.
You're welcome. Let me think. The questions, one was, what maybe is my most...
Question about yourself.
Yeah, uncomfortable. Well, one of the things, I look forward to the holidays. It's a good time for me, basically. I enjoy gift giving. And although I like to think that it's not important for me to receive a present, it really is. And I don't know, I guess I often don't know what to ask for when people, you know, if family members or somebody says, what would you like?
Well, there's a good question. When people ask you what you like, why don't you know what to ask for? You know, what is it about you that doesn't have a thing to ask for? I mean, is there anything, is it that you buy yourself everything you like? Or is it that you can't think of something to say at the moment?
No, I think it's that I can't think of something at the moment.
Okay, so let's think of something at the moment. What is something that most people who know you would be able to get you as a gift that you would kind of like?
Well, all right. A lot of the things that I like, I think other people don't want to get as a present. For instance, I think some people like to buy jewelry or...
What do you like?
Well, what I would prefer would be certain CDs, you know, not just any music, but music. Maybe, you know, tickets to see some particular theater play or... I guess it would be, I was going to say, I think I'm fussy about what I get.
Yeah, I'm hearing it. In other words, what you're saying is, I want him to get me tickets to a show, but I want it to be a specific show. I don't want him just get me tickets to a show.
Right.
I want him to get me CDs, but I want it to be specific CDs, not
right.
just CDs that they would choose.
Even in jewelry, I want something that I would like to be able to wear.
Okay, but what you're assuming is that the gift ends. When you get it. You see, the way I see it, maybe this will be of help to you. What's your name, by the way?
Kathy.
The way I see it is the real gift is that they give you a gift.
Okay, right.
Right? So now I take a look at something I got. Like, somebody got me as a gift, John Sousa's marching bands. The other day they got me that as a while back as a gift.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't imagine really enjoying it, and I didn't enjoy it. But, you know, I took a chance with it. I took it in, and I said, why do they see me? What do they see in me? They see my curiosity. They see my appreciation of all kinds of music.
Right.
And I actually asked, so when you thought of me, what made you think of this gift? And they say, oh, you didn't like it? I said, oh, no, I do like it. When you thought of me, what made you think of this particular gift? And they give me history and meaning about bigness. That I really appreciated it. So the second opportunity you have, Kathy, is when they give you a piece of music, if you ask for CDs, say music, but don't tell them what kind, see what they pick for you, and it'll tell you everything they feel about you.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that a wonderful gift?
Yeah.
And then, after you get it, if you know you're not going to like it, bring it back. Find the store that it was gotten, or go to any store and say, I got this for Christmas, can I trade it in?
Yeah. Okay, that sounds like a good idea. It certainly is.
But now, how about simple things? How about candles? Do you like candles?
Yes.
I had a feeling you like candles. How can somebody buy you a bad candle unless it's too smelly, right? Right? If
right.
I know you,
yes.
You want to be in control of every fragrance. You don't want the smell of, let me just guess. You don't want the smell of blueberry in your house.
Right. That would be a good one.
That would be one of the bad ones, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I would imagine. So you would say unscented candles.
Well, I like scented candles, but...
But very particular candles.
Yes, right.
How about unscented ones? Do you like them?
Well, that would be all right also.
You see, unscented candles, you're safe.
They can't go wrong.
You can't go wrong. And so people could buy you beeswax and beautiful things that they could get you.
Yes, the beeswax candles.
And you could say, I like beeswax
right.
candles. So now look at this, Kathy. Without me even knowing you, in 5 minutes, I found out everything you like. I found out things you like. And here, for you as a gift, I say to you, tell people.
I think I'll send them to you, Armand.
Go see Armand. He's got my list. It's like the wedding registry, you
like
know?
Santa Claus.
This is the Kathy registry. He's Santa Claus, right? He knows exactly what I want. That's great, Kathy. Yeah, no, it's important to let people take a shot at you, you know, any way they want.
Uh-huh.
They want to get you tickets to a show, they get you tickets to a show, anything they want to give you. Because if you get a chance, after you show your appreciation, to say, and what about this is what you wanted to give to me, and you let them know it's okay, they're going to tell you something that's a beautiful thing to hear. Because nobody ever gives you something to say, oh, you remind me of being a witch, so I got you this thing about witches.
A cauldron. All right.
Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Armand. Bye.
Bye. Oh, I didn't ask you. Are you still there, Kathy?
Yeah.
Yeah. What about your childhood?
Oh, what was Christmas like?
Yeah.
Well, it was a big holiday in my house, but it wasn't, it was just celebrated more with my immediate family.
And what about the gifts?
And there were always lots of presents. We had a large family. There were seven children. Mm-hmm. And so there were always, the room was like full of, you know, with children's toys, especially it's easy to fill up a room. Mm-hmm. And not too much expense involved, but I think.
What was unhappy about Christmas for you?
I suppose that the joy of the morning didn't last through the day.
Uh-huh. Because the family itself wasn't happy, was it?
Right.
And the gifts, when you're one of seven kids and there's a bunch of gifts that are for you, are you ever overjoyed by the gift, or is... Are they practically interchangeable gifts that you could have gotten, or your brother could have gotten, or your sister?
No, they were very specific most of the time.
Tell me one gift you got when you were a kid that was the most wonderful gift in the world.
Well, I don't know. I'm thinking of mohair sweaters and the most wonderful gift.
Was there ever a toy?
There was a little china tea set from England, like a sort of miniature set.
And you loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Not liked it, but loved it.
Yes.
Let me ask you something. What happened to that tea set?
Well, it was at my mother's house for many years, but I think at some point, I don't know who or when, we had moved and it got either thrown out or...
In your imagination... Did you when you were a kid and you had that tea set, did you serve tea to people in
yes.
your imagination?
Oh,
do you
yeah.
remember setting it up and having people come over and everybody sat there and you're a little girl and you're making the tea?
Yes.
All right. Hey, Kathy, this is going to make a difference.
Okay.
Get yourself that tea set. Get it for yourself.
Okay.
Wrap it up. Make it your gift. Make it from all of us to you.
Okay, Armand. I think I will. I'll look for it.
Sure. Hey, nice to speak to you.
Okay, thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be taking more of your calls.
Hi, I'm Danny Glover, and this is WBAI, listener-supported, non-commercial radio in New York.
Hi, this is Armand DeMille, inviting you to tune in Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays at 1 p.m. to The Positive Mind, a program dedicated to bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. We do this through promoting your understanding of yourself and the people around you. Again, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays at 1 p.m., The Positive Mind, right here on listener-supported WBAI 99.5 FM.
TalkBack is your gathering place for the free and fair exchange of information and ideas heard here Monday through Thursday from 3 until 5 in the afternoon. I'm Hugh Hamilton. Join me as we explore the issues and events making news across the nation and around the world with expert guests, insightful analysis, and, of course, your comments, questions, and observations. That's TalkBack right here on WBAI New York.
listening to Jungle Bells by Brent Lewis, B-R-E-N-T, Lewis, L-E-W-I-S, a friend of WBAI. He's been a very, very creative guy. Look for Brent Lewis if you want to search it up. He's a wonderful album called Christmas Tunes by Brent Lewis. If you're just passing by on your radio dial and you're saying, "What's that?" It's Brent Lewis. This is WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. This is Armand DeMille with you. With the positive mind, reframing is a very important concept. It means taking a look at something and then kind of putting it in a different perspective. Maybe that could help you out. Look at things a little different. We've been talking about the holiday season and how the holiday season affects people from a psychological point of view, because that's what I do. It's my thing. We're exploring two questions. Two questions, which is, if you knew something about yourself in the holiday season, like Kathy was asking, why can't I ever tell people what to get me? Right? Because Kathy's always in control. I knew a guy who was offered exactly what he wanted, and he said, no, don't get it from me, it's no good. And so that's no good, so he turns down people from getting him things, and then he goes along and he tries to make sure that all of his children's gifts, now listen to this, this is a very important thing, he wanted all of his children's gifts to be practical. Now, I remember that as a kid. Did you ever get socks as a Christmas present? How's that for a response when your aunt gets you three pair of socks? You want to know how kids feel about socks? But it's a practical gift. Then you ask your mother, what does he need? He needs socks. Okay, we get him socks. Thanks, Auntie. Right, that's the end of that one. Something sparkly, something shiny, something that lights up, something that does something, something that's cheerful, something that's light, even if it's disposable. You know, hopefully it's not going to be destructive to the environment, but there's always a chance that you could get somebody something that glitters. I wonder what a person would like. Would they like a box of bubbles? You know, those blow-your-own-bubbles, little, what do they cost, 10 cents or a dollar, whatever they cost? You can, a little bubble set? Or would they prefer three pair of socks? Well, how about three pair of socks with a bubble set on top of it? Now, that sounds like a perfect combination. Being too practical with children is not the best idea all the time. So try to be a little impractical, too. That's why they have these things called stocking stuffers for the impractical things, you know, nice, cute things. We're talking about two questions. Talking about two questions. Why bother with the holidays in the first place? Why be a part of this commercialism? Why be a part of this destructiveness? Well, I'm saying to you, if you feel that way, you probably had a lousy family upbringing when it came to Christmas. And I understand completely. Your negativity in your family, if everything around it was miserable, you hated the holidays. If the holidays are a time of year that remind you of pain, you hate the holidays. Many people have people who die around this time of year, you know, because it tends to claim people, you know, maybe the excitement, but Christmas, New Year's claims people. So it becomes a sad combination. Christmas, New Year's, the death of someone you love. It's hard, but you have to know this about yourself. You see, you have to know about yourself what triggers you, what are you carrying around in your baggage, because if you could find out about yourself, if you could understand yourself, then you don't wind up spreading it all over the place and asking everybody to be miserable in place of you. If you could say to people, if people say to you, you having a good Christmas, and you say, I always had a lousy Christmas as a child, so I tend to be a Scrooge, but let me not lay that on you. I hope you can enjoy it as best as you can. Tell me what you need. Our telephone number here is 212-209-2900. We're taking calls about this. What would you like to know about yourself related to the season or the holidays? What's the question you have about yourself? Second question I'm going to ask you, what was your childhood like with the holidays? 212-209-2900. Call in right now. We'll take your calls. Hi, this is Armand DeMille. You're on the air.
Hello, Armand.
Hello.
You know, I am a middle child in a single-parent family. And my mother did Christmas every year. She used to hide everything in the pantry with the skeleton key. And we kids used to look for that skeleton key to see what we got. And her elder brother, my uncle, always helped her with Christmas. But I never was, first of all, my mother was limited as to what she could get, and she did the best she could. I don't know what I ever wanted. You know, whatever I got, it was all right with me. I was more interested in lights and music. And I remember that she used to play certain music, like I remember Nat King Cole song. She used to play that at Christmas time. There's certain musical things that I've always remembered and I still enjoy. But
So what do you do around the holiday time? Are you somebody who celebrates? Are you somebody who gets gifts and gives gifts? What do you do?
No, I don't celebrate Christmas at all.
Uh-huh. I mean,
I have never celebrated in my adult life.
But as a child, you did.
Well, yeah, because that's where I lived in my mother's house.
Okay.
Whatever her pattern was mine.
Are there any people around you, or do you live alone?
No, I have six children, and I've never celebrated with them. And I told them as they got grown, whatever choices they made were all right with me.
And what are their choices? Do you have six children who some of them celebrate and some don't?
None of them do.
Huh. That's interesting. That's unusual.
They're 21 to 40.
And how do they feel about it?
Well, you know, I explained why I didn't celebrate Christmas. It had to do with I was not going to get involved in what I felt Christmas was more about.
Yeah,
I didn't think anything about the birth of Christ because he wasn't born then.
Okay, let me ask you something. Mm-hmm. So your kids are perfectly happy never celebrating Christmas? They never talked about it?
In fact, my in-laws used to say there, and my mother used to say, those kids are going to be so mad with you. Well, they're grown and they're not mad with me.
You know why they're not mad with you? What's your name?
My name is Nomsa.
Nomsa?
Uh-huh.
Spell it for me.
N-O-M-S-A.
Nomsa. Nomsa, you know why they're not mad at you? Because you love them.
Oh, absolutely.
You see what I mean? Because you gave your kids so much love, they didn't feel... If you said something, you said, kiddies, listen, here's my guideline, I don't believe in this particular holiday, they're not looking for some kind of love at Christmas time. You gave them so much love. These kids are filled with you, and they respect you, and they love you, and that's a beautiful thing.
Now, and they have two birthdays, three birthdays in and around that time. And on the first of the year, I always have a big dinner. They can invite their friends, watch the football game. I'd cook everything from soup to nuts, and so on the 1st of January, that was their day.
Nomsa, do you have any brothers and sisters still around?
I have one sister still alive, my younger sister.
She's still around.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Everybody in my family celebrates Christmas.
All the people from your past family, I mean, your brothers and sisters.
I had two sisters. One is dead and the youngest one is alive.
And what about your brothers?
I don't have any brothers.
Okay, so it was just two sisters. You have one dead sister now and one alive sister. You know what I want you to buy your alive sister as a gift?
What?
Are you ready for this?
What?
Go get her a skeleton key.
Remind her.
Not only the reminder, but you see, this important gift was not what was in the cabinet, but the skeleton key.
Yeah.
Hunting for the skeleton key. You could buy those for 10 cents at any hardware store. And it's a wonderful thing. And you give it
and
to your sister.
And you know, I think I'm going to do that.
I know you are. And she's going to put it on a piece of jewelry. She carried it around her neck. And it means I always know where the presents are.
In fact, she's not going to know what the key is going to mean. She'll call me and ask me, why did you send me this key?
Well, then there's one other person who needs the key.
Yeah. But you know, the other thing is that...
Wait a minute now. So what about you getting a key?
What about me getting a key?
Yeah, are you allowed to have this gift?
Well, you know, I think I have many gifts in my life.
Yeah, I hear.
I think I have many gifts. There are people in my life who who I cherish, and I am thankful for their friendship because it's unique. And
well,
they've been my friend for 30 and 40 years.
You had a real special mom, you know, and you had a real special mom who was able to pull this off with you, and you obviously passed it along. So I thank you for calling in with your spirit, and I really love the fact that you and your sister may wind up with skeleton keys so that you'll always know where the gifts are. You know, they're in your heart.
Yes, say that's where they are. They're in your heart.
Thanks
okay,
for calling
thank
in.
You. All right, bye-bye.
Sure. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi there, you're on the air. 212-209-2900. Hi. Hello there. You're there.
Hello?
Yes, you're there.
How are you?
Good.
I guess I look at Christmas as when I was a kid.
No, well, let's start with what do you think about yourself nowadays? What question do you have about yourself related to these holidays?
I don't like them.
You don't like them. So what's the question you have about it?
I guess because I know another year is gone and I feel like I haven't accomplished anything in that whole time.
So the question you have is, why do I feel so disappointed? And why do I feel so miserable at the holiday time? Okay. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
What's your first name, by the
way? Gloria.
Gloria, that's a question you have. Why do you feel so bad? Now, you have this guess. Maybe because I didn't achieve anything. Maybe because another year has passed by. A lot of people I know have years have passed by that they don't achieve anything. In fact, they get worse than the year before, but they're still not miserable. So now we're going to look at your childhood, and we're going to look at what happened to you when you were a kid around this time of year. What was the miserable thing that happened? And I know something happened when you were young at Christmas between your mother and father.
I guess my mother always said, like, that my father was like Santa Claus, and I guess when my father passed away, we stopped celebrating Christmas.
Did he pass away?
Yeah.
When did he pass away?
A while ago.
When was that?
I can't even remember. It's been that long.
Do you remember when, what kind of time of year he passed away?
In the spring, in April.
Spring of April and sometime in some year, 4 years ago, that you can't remember.
Yeah.
Can't remember when your dad died. It must feel terrible.
Yeah. And so she stopped celebrating. And I remember one year when I first was on my own, and I remember I had this house, and I decorated it so nice, and I put up the lights and the tree and everything. Had to, you know, do the whole thing, and nobody came. And after that, I'm like, I'm never putting up another tree.
Oh, wow. I understand. So who do you live with now?
Just my son.
You live with your son?
Mm-hmm.
Your son doesn't get a tree?
No, he goes away. I send him as soon as school ends. The day the school ends, the next day I send him to my relatives. And he doesn't come back until the first of the year.
Because you don't want him to get involved in your depression?
Exactly.
Because you get depressed. You know, depression is such a common thing to happen at this time of year. A lot of it has to do with just the seasonal affective disorder, which has to do with the light spectrum.
Right.
But somehow, so what they do for people who are depressed at this time of year is they get them outdoors.
Really?
And it's the last thing in the world you would think of doing, but they want you to be exposed to more light.
Right.
Now, there are so many places out there in this world around the holiday times that need volunteers.
Yeah, I was thinking about doing that this year.
Were you thinking about doing that this year? You know, actually, we need a volunteer tomorrow.
Okay.
We need a volunteer at WBAI, okay. 99.5 FM. They need a volunteer to answer phones because tomorrow they're going to be taking new memberships.
Okay, from what time to what time?
Anytime. I think you could kind of go in anytime you want, but I'd like you to volunteer around this time between 1 and 2 o'clock because then I'll be announcing my program and you'll
okay.
be there answering phones.
Okay.
Doesn't that feel like a wonderful thing to do? It's
it
down
does.
At 120 Wall Street, and if you need more information, you call 279-209-2800.
Okay.
And they'll give you more information. And your name is?
Gloria. Yep.
So now, Gloria, just that idea of doing something, didn't that lift your spirit for
it
a minute?
It did.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you, you've got a very available spirit.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's really good to talk to you. I'm sorry about your dad's death.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. She saw that reaction. Fast. Oh, something I could do. Where do I go? Who do I do it with? There's so much that's needed at this time of year. Getting out of the house, though, is a real important thing. Getting into the light. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
You have to turn off your radio completely.
Okay, I will. Yeah, I'm right here.
Good.
Thank you.
Sure.
It's been a long time since I called in.
What's your name?
It's Pam Murphy, Pam Musa.
Pam Musa, how are you, Pam?
Hey, thanks. I'm doing pretty
nice,
good.
Pam
I keep supporting the station, but I haven't been down to volunteer since you're at Wall Street.
Yeah, we're at Wall Street now.
Yeah, I know, but I used to go in when you're on 35th because I'm down in the Asbury Park area.
Sure, so that's right near. Yeah,
I'd hop off on at Penn Station and then just about walk across the street, and I'm not so sure about how to get down to Wall Street. But I can't tell you how much I love the station and how much Armand has helped me.
Pam, I can't imagine. I've been in contact with you for so long. It's really so nice to hear your voice. What happens to you at this time of year?
What happens is, and it's kind of what's happening is my home is in this horrible state of chaos. I don't know what it is. I love to give gifts, but by 1999, I was like forced to retire from my job, which was a fairly good paying job, but due to like some real bad trauma, brain trauma, et cetera, a lot of surgeries and stuff. My doctors would never let me go back for more than 15 hours, and they were trying to force me to resign. So I was able to get a pension disability, but it's only about $1,100 a month, and trying to live on that. And I'm in a family which everybody's got spouses and, you know, a lot of money coming in, and it's very competitive. Like, I'm out of the loop at this point. But I love the I get a lot of joy from giving gifts, and in other words, I have to keep it like $15 to $10 and under, and that can it puts me in a horrible, again, even though that's not much money, it still puts me in a terrible strain. For I always manage to pay, you know, a certain amount of money on my credit cards, but it's such a different situation. As I was starting to earn more money, I've gone to night school to get my bachelor's so I could make more. And my son died about 5 years ago. And you miss him, you know, as every year goes by, I think I miss him more, you know, because I haven't seen him in 5 years, you know. So it seems you think you would get more used to it. But so as a result, I have gifts all over the place. But I can't seem to... I can't seem to take the next step as far as wrapping and the things that we would normally do to get ourselves prepared. Last year it kind of happened, but the chaos is much worse this year. And I feel an awful rejection at home. You know, it's like you don't feel accepted anymore. Like, once I was unable to do the parties, I had a big house. I rented with my sons for 10 years, and I would have a big Christmas thing and Thanksgiving thing. I loved it, you know. I loved having everybody over. I thought we were the closest family in the world. But it's amazing how this makes everything different.
Sure. Sure, you know, Pam, I could hear the ache of it. Let me ask you something. You're also a cook, aren't you?
That's not really my thing. I'm an art major. And I just finished a program through Rutgers as a master gardener. So that's been something I've been doing on the side for, you know, some of my elderly neighbors.
So let me ask you something about all the gifts that you have that need to be wrapped. Did you ever think of painting them instead of wrapping them? Did you ever think
what do you mean, like brown paper?
Like putting color on the outside of the boxes or doing whatever you do that's different.
I've done that in the past. It'd be way too many. I have, I'm one of seven, and then...
Oh, my God, all those, and then for the kids as well.
My friends, and I have two sons, and they have their fiancés, and huh?
Let me explain something to you.
Okay.
Look, you're having a depression. Your depression is the result of many things. Both the loss of job and the loss of your son
and home
are enormous, okay?
Yeah, it's like I can't get used to it. I'm usually pretty good at bouncing back, you know?
Wait, let me finish, okay?
I'm sorry.
Sure. So when it comes to be this time of year and the pressure comes on and then you have this family acceptance, the load gets even heavier and heavier. And as you get older, it seems to be the depression wants to slide in even more.
I tried it.
So let me finish, okay?
Thank you.
Sure. So the thing that I think you need to do is you need to be able to get away from it. Whereas everybody else is welcoming being involved, you need to get away. You need fresh air. You need to take a break. The thing you need more than anybody else is to get somewhere where you feel free of all this, because you also feel like your body's a little broken down, you know, that you can't do as much. So I think you need to take a break, and I think the break you need is to get away by yourself, away from all of it, for a little period of time. Let that be a present to yourself, you know? One day of just free from it, instead of the, you know, your involvement in it, which gets too involved. And remember the thing I said about light, about the light spectrum. It's very important that you give yourself as much light as possible, because it helps you by feeding against, by going against the depression. You're an amazing person. I've known you for many years now, and I've spoken to you, and I've heard from you, and you've sent me emails. You're dealing with some of the losses that people never get over. The fact that you've still got a spirit, and even now to share a spirit with the people on WBAI, it's kind of an amazing thing, and I'm grateful to you. I'm grateful to you. Please stay in this world with us. Hey, Pam, I'm going to have to get going. It's wonderful to talk to you. Wonderful. You still there? All right, you're gone. I'll be speaking to you again. I'm sure you're going to email me. So to this wonderful person, Pamela Musa, who's unlike many, you know, I loved about her name because of Pam and Musa. Pam Musa, if you separate that, you take out the P, it becomes Amusa, which is a beautiful thing, as in one who makes you smile. Hey, I didn't tell you this thing about scratching, so listen. Scratching, there are four ways to scratch a back. Three ways. You can rake it, you can circle it, or you can zigzag it. You can make circles, you can rake it, or you can zigzag with your fingers. If somebody asks you to scratch their back, you know, you could say, well, what would you like? And if they know the words, they could say rake it, circle it, or zigzag it. And then they could tell you more or less pressure, up or down, right or left. A scratching of a back only lasts about 1 minute. At this time of year, when skin tends to get a little dry, it's very welcome. But if you could share this with a good friend, you should be able to, with somebody you love, scratch their back perfectly. And they should be able to scratch yours perfectly, because it involves a two-way communication, the person receiving and the person giving. I suggest you develop the art, raking, circling, zigzagging. And then at the end of it, after you do a scratch somebody's back, you do what I call smoothing, which is you take your hand and you just rub it over all the area you scratch for just a minute. It's a beautiful thing. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends. This is Armand DeMille.
WBAI, New York. -27 degrees and partly cloudy in New York City. You're tuned to listener-supported, commercial-free community radio WBAI, WBAI.org, broadcasting at 99.5 FM. Good afternoon. My name is Michael G. Haskins, your radio host and guide. Coming up next at 2 p.m. will be the Arts Magazine. Talk Back with Hugh Hamilton at 3 p.m., the Community Bulletin Board at 4:55, and at 5 p.m., Taking Aim with Ralph Schoenman and Maya Schoen. Please do stay tuned.